I do hope that I'm able to finish this thought. But what I want to share with us today, this evening, is this: that preaching the gospel is not peaches. It's exciting. You have great results and amazing things happen, but it is a life and death issue. And every believer must understand that. And the reason I want to share this with you today is so that you and I stop griping about, oh, they were persecuting me. It comes with the territory. They are accusing me. It comes with the territory. They call me demon possessed. It comes with the territory. Jesus, our Lord, said, if they persecuted me, he says, you're not greater than your master. They're going to do the same thing to you. So it's a resolve. It's a decision that we have to make, recognizing that this is the way it is. It's just the way it is. I'm going to start, first of all, from Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning to read from verse 6. The Lord hides nothing from us. He tells us exactly what the beef is. It starts out this way. It says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach. So it says, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It said, preach that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he commissions, he says, heal the sick. This part of the package. As you're preaching, heal the sick. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Freely you have received what? Freely you have received this unction, this power, this anointing on your life. Freely give it. Don't go with the anointing asking people to pay for it. If people want to support what you're doing, to give you room to be able to go further to more places, resource you so that you can accomplish more, great. But don't go asking people to pay for what it is that you are called to do. It goes on. It says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor staves, for the workman is worthy of the smith. And into whatsoever city ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go hence. And when you come into an house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. In other words, the peace that I give unto you is going to either stay with them or it's going to come back to you. Let's go on. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now watch this. Verse 16. This is a statement of the Lord. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So I'm sending you as sheep amongst wolves. You know what wolves do with sheep, right? They want to chow down on them. He says, so I want you to be wise as serpents. In other words, be very discreet. Snakes camouflage themselves. They hide. So we talk about green grass or green snake under green grass. God is saying, yeah, I've called you to go preach. But when you go preaching, be very smart. Understand your environment. Know when you are to speak and when not to speak. What to say and what not to say. Be smart and be harmless as doves. Hurt nobody. I'm not sending you out there to hurt anybody. I'm sending you out there to be smart, be wise, like a serpent, harmless as doves. And then there's this very interesting word, but. Beware of men. Wait a minute. What are we talking about? I thought we were talking about men all this while. And basically what he's saying is, the wolf spirit is not a man spirit. The wolf spirit that wants to destroy you is not man. That's why he said, be harmless as doves. Be discerning. There are going to be spirits that are going to be around seeking to hurt you. So they are going to operate through people. He says, so beware of men, colon. Because men are going to deliver you to the councils. Councils here represent governmental forces, governing forces. You're going to be accused and dragged before governments who are in opposition, religious leaders who are in opposition. It says, be very aware of that. This is going to happen. And they will scourge you in their synagogues. They're going to whoop you. Can you imagine? Okay. Somebody brings you into, let's make the synagogue synonymous to church. Somebody brings you inside the church and starts whooping you inside the church and thinks they're doing the right thing. Let's cast out this spirit out of you. This spirit that tells you to preach that Jesus is Lord. Let's go on. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. You're going to be dragged before governors and kings. Paul had that experience. But this is what I want you to understand here. Watch this. That as they're dragging you into different positions, you are being positioned to speak the word of truth to their hearing. These are opportunity zones. So while they are presenting you before the law court, you stand out and you start preaching the gospel. You don't stop preaching the gospel. Because the opportunity that you just were just given is an opportunity to speak to another group of people. Hello? Look at the life of Paul, and you see that working out systematically. Opportunity, 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 opportunity. Everything is an opportunity to speak the word of the Lord. Watch this. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. Don't worry about what you're going to speak. Why? For it shall be given you, not before, in the same hour, when you need it, God is going to give you the right words to say. How are you going to say it? It shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, it's not you that's speaking, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Wow. You mean in the midst of all these issues, God is right there with you? Absolutely. What is saying? God is with you. I remember many years ago, the nation of Kenya had an election, and there were some serious issues, different tribes going against each other, burning their houses. It was almost a civil war. It was at that same time, while the battle was raging there in Kenya, that God spoke to Mama and I. He says, I want you to go to Kenya. I said, to do what? Aren't you seeing the papers? Aren't you listening to television? That place is on fire. They're burning houses and burning people in there. You want me to go where? I said, to Kenya. I said, okay. Here we go. So we went to Kenya. As we were preaching, because of the rage, you could see some houses smoking, still on fire, on the field, from the field where we were. And there were people in the boundaries of that stadium. Just about 100 or so people, maybe, were inside the stadium, and that's one tribe. They felt safe to be together. The others were on their outskirts. We kept on preaching the word of God. Kept on preaching the word of God, and miracles began to happen right here. First day, second day. The people that were outside came on the inside, but they were still far away. By the third day, they were all together. God had brought wholeness. Deliverance, miracles were happening. We didn't go there and get money from them. We got what we took from here and blessed them there. But through the process of ministering to them, in that particular time, we met the mayor of the city, ministered to the mayor of the city. We met the vice president of the country and became fast friends with the vice president. One situation led us into many other opportunities. You listening? We didn't know what we were going to say. What are we going to say? We don't know these people. What are we going to say to them to bring healing? But at the time that we got there, the words that were necessary were spoken, and healing began to take place. And what I'm saying to you today is this, that God is going to use your life, use my life, in supernatural ways as we allow God's Spirit to work in us and with us. And he's saying, be at peace. Don't be afraid. Yes, I am sending you. I know I'm sending you. As sheep amongst wolves. But I'm there with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go on. And then he says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Wow. And the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Why? Because they're preaching. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that does not quit shall be saved. He that reminds himself that God is with me and God has sent me, he says, that person is going to be saved. He says, but I want you to know, even family members are going to go against you. Because you're preaching the gospel. When I got called as a minister, I was given to the Lord that September 5th, 1976. I was busy preaching, but I didn't want to be a full-time minister, so to speak. But on September 5th, 1976, my father put me on the offering plate, so to speak. He said, I'm giving my only son to God. This was pre-cell phones, and in those days, 76, the use of telephones was very rare. It was very, very rare in Nigeria for you to find somebody with a telephone. For you to have a telephone, you got lots of harashi. My uncle was in a different city. Let's put it this way. Let's say this was happening in Winnipeg. He's in Toronto. It's not exactly the same distance, but just for you to understand. He's in Toronto. Nobody called him. Nobody told him. He left Toronto and showed up in Winnipeg, or left Lagos and showed up in Warri, piping mad. He disrespects my father, who is his oldest brother, and says, how dare you give this son to God? And he goes up and down my father. My father was just quiet. Because this doesn't happen. I'm the oldest son. I'm the one supposed to run, take care of the family business, and take care of everybody. And now you had the audacity, the effrontery, to hand this guy over to God to be a full-time minister. He is so piping mad. And so then I came into the room, stuck my head in, and he goes up and down me, wipes me clean, attacks me. If he could have found a gun to shoot me, he would have shot me right there. Crazy, foolish boy. They give you to God and you're happy. Huh? So when he was all done and he left and went back to his city, I stopped and started to analyze what happened. It dawned on me. Who called this guy? There were no phones to call him. Nobody FedExed him. Nobody text messaged him. Nobody. But somehow, in the realm of the spirit, because he was a worshiper of different other spirits, the noise had gone loud. Something has happened. There's a disturbance in the force. There's a disturbance. Somebody, who did this? And that's how he got from there to just to make sure that I stop. And my father changes his mind and we don't do this. It was all of the devil. Point. The devil will attack. Family members that loved you will all of a sudden turn against you because you decided that you're going to preach the word of God. Now, please understand when I'm talking about preaching, I'm not talking about you leaving your job to go preach. Remember what we said Sunday night last and this morning. Your platform is whatever profession God has called you to. So it is from that position where God has called you to that you are ministering the word of God, sharing the tidbits of the things of the kingdom of God and helping people come into the knowledge of who God is. Now, why would anybody want to persecute you when the sick are getting healed? That must tell you this must be the devil. They should be celebrating that the sick are getting healed. Demons have been cast out. Lives have been transformed. Minds have been renewed. Why are they attacking you? Because the devil is piping mad because you are setting the captives free. That is all the reason God says, I want you to endure. Go through it. Yes, it is happening, but go through it. I understand. And if you just simply endure, things are going to be different. 23. Watch this. It says, but when they persecute you in this city, if they're troubling you in this city, go to the next city. Flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. The Son of Man become. Watch that. Till the Son of Man what? Become. Oh, that's interesting. Because the idea is this. It's not just talking about till the Son of Man comes back. The word become there is meant to trigger something. Trigger this. Jesus become real to them. Did you get that? Jesus becoming real to them. It says as you're going from place to place, give it time. I'll become in their lives. Let's go on. He says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. You're not above me. And because that is so, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. You're not above me, but be like me. And the servant as his Lord, be like your Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, that is the Lord of flies, how much more shall they call them of his household? In other words, you're going to be accused of doing the wrong thing. You're going to be accused that you're of the devil. This is, that is part of the package. Just chill. This is going to happen. I'm not telling you this is not going to happen. This is going to happen. You're going to face challenges because you're preaching. You're coming against an enemy. And you got to bind that strong man so you can spoil his house. Next verse, fear them not, therefore. Don't be afraid of them. Watch verse 25 again. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, be as your master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? 26. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Point. While they are busy accusing you of whatever, after a while, they will come to a clarity of their mind that they are on the wrong. That makes sense? So just stay. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. I thought you said trying to hide, they're trying to persecute you. And he said, No. Just keep on doing what you're called to do. This is your assignment. As the Father sent me, so send I you. You want to be, Lord, I want to be like you. Preach. Remember the Lord Jesus in Luke 4, he's preaching, he's ministering, and then the people get upset. They take him out to the outskirts of the city, and they were just going to push him off the cliff. And he turns around and walks away. Remember that? Okay, that's you. That's you. What the enemy is trying to accomplish will not come to pass. They purpose to kill you. They purpose to destroy you. But their plans will never come to pass. It's a mirage. Amen? It says, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Why is this important? You have to reflect back to what we talked about this morning. You have to reflect back to what we talked about this morning about your assignment to preach the gospel. And that if you don't preach the gospel and people die because you did not preach, they die in their sins. But God says, I'm going to request or require their blood from your hand. So I am not going to be afraid to speak the truth. As a pastor, this ministering the word of God, it's 45 years this year. I've had so many threats on my person at different times. I've had people raging, really piping mad. You know, it's like their eyeballs want to fall off of their faces. Red, piping, you know, it's like the blood vessels want to break. And I just sit down there and listen. Look at the devil. They want me to stop preaching certain things. Did that stop me? After they finish raging, they pipe down. I still do what I'm doing. And God is saying the same thing. Don't be afraid of people. What are you afraid of? They're going to kill you because you preach the gospel. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What am I afraid of? What are you afraid of? They're going to do this or they're going to do that. Those are opportunities. You know, Paul says, you know, I've been stoned so many times. After they left me for dead, I woke up, dusted off myself and walked away. Didn't do nothing. What have you gone through for preaching the gospel? Let me ask you that question. So Somebody then invites you to their dead day party. That's why nobody likes me at my office. So that's a big deal. And God is simply saying, listen, forget about that. Make sure you're right with me. Because whatever it is they have to say means nothing, matters not. Just preach the gospel. Love them enough to preach the gospel. So rather fear him which is able to destroy, not just kill, destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's go on. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I know every single hair, every single one, every single one. I know the one that is number one and the one that is number 1,000. And if number 955 drops, I know. It's not about, I know all the amount of hair that you have. I know the number of every one of them. In other words, God is saying, I am so committed to you, I know every detail. So don't worry about it. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. He said, don't worry about it. I know everything. I'm in this with you. Look at verse 29 again. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? That is less than a penny, a cent. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Notice what he didn't say there, without your father knowing it. He didn't say that. He says, not even the sparrow falls to the ground, I fall with it. I'm so committed even to the sparrow that whatever is happening to the sparrow is happening to me. And basically what God is saying is, whatever is happening to you is happening to me. I'm committed to you. Go preach. Yes, there's a fight. Go preach. I'm going to be there with you in the trenches. Just go preach. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You have more value than many sparrows. If I'm so committed to the sparrow, I'm committed to you. Let's go on. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, watch that. Because that's what we're doing when we're preaching. He says, if you confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You boast about me, I'm going to boast about you. You stand with me, I'm going to be talking to Father about you all the time. You know what Mike did today? Mike, oh man. There are all these guys, you know, standing against him, and he just stood there and he just preached away. He just confessed. My goodness. That's good. The Lord Jesus Christ goes on and says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the angels. Not only before the Father, but before the angels. I'm going to boast about you before the Father and before angels. He says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, I don't know Jesus. He says, you deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. How do you like those pictures? God denying you, the Lord denying you, says, him I don't know. Let's go on. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. Wow. What is he saying? He's saying the very fact that you are preaching the word does not always generate a peaceful atmosphere. Sometimes it's going to create a lot of confusion. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. What is the sword? The sword of the word of God, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. I came to send forth my word into the world. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, enemies, shall be they of his own household. Have you ever experienced that? Those who resist you the most are from your own household. So that's what's going to happen. He that loveth father, watch this now, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Oh well, I'm going to pipe down, you know, because I don't want any issues with father or mother, so I'm not going to preach anymore. And Jesus, our Lord, says, that's you declaring that you love your father or your mother more than me. And says, and if that's what you are, you're not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So preaching the gospel is about you loving God. Now that's a challenge. None of this is easy by any stretch of the imagination. But there is a great benefit in all of it, when we are dead to what God is saying. 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You got to take up your cross and follow me. He says, if you don't take up the cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. What was he saying? When you took up a cross, there was only one reason. You took up the cross to go die on it. And God says, you have to love me even unto death. Now, this is not lightweight. This is about your commitment to the purposes of God. He that findeth his life shall lose it. In other words, okay, I got my life back. Whew, I got my life back. Everything is okay. Everything is okay. Okay, let's keep it that way. He says, you're going to lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So you find your life by willing to lose it for my purpose. Listen, I have forewarned us by the Spirit for a while now that persecution is coming to the church, to the people that believe God. And part of the persecution is going to come from the so-called church. Church will persecute the church. There are people who are going to go against everything that you believe in and make certain that you end up where they are going. You got to make a decision. Let me say that again. You got to make a decision about what you believe, who it is that you believe. Make a decision on whom you love. And love him to the utmost. Because the challenges of life are going to be manifest. There's no ifs or buts about it. It's going to happen. And you need to make a decision on how you're going to live your life. Whether you're going to live your life as unto God, or live your life to satisfy the deeds of the flesh. And I got to take care of this and that. And God says, you got to be willing to lose it all. Pastor, you're not serious. Well, those are not my words. Are those my words? Are those my words? Are those the words of the Lord? Okay, if they are the words of the Lord, then you've got to put the weight to those words. Because what we are dealing with has eternal consequences. You want the Lord to confess you before the Father? He says, confess me before men. Let's go on. Verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth him, watch this again. He that receiveth you receiveth me. If they receive you, they receive me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Who sent him? The Father sent him. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. There's a reward for receiving you. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Look at all of that. It's ending up with rewards. Watch this. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones. Which little ones? Remember he said, except you be like little what? Children. Ah. Now we know the little children are not little children running around. The little children are the preachers. Those that are declaring the word of God, they are his little children. Whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a what? Disciple. Disciple. The children are the disciples. Those who are carrying for the gospel. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What is the water? The water is refreshing the person. Said, man, you've been going through much here. Water. Refreshed. Whatever causes that man or woman of God to be refreshed in their spirit, that means that you are not adding burdens into their lives, but you are bringing wholeness to them. You strengthening them. He says, you will not lose your reward because you are a partner with me in taking this gospel out. God is interested in saving lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Let me wrap up today, and I'm not even close to finishing. And I made certain that I talk as slowly as I'm talking this evening because this is a very heavy matter. Mark 3, verse 13 through 15. In Mark chapter 3, the Lord says here, the word of God says, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. Calls to himself those he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. The first thing, that they should be with him. If you're going to be a preacher of the gospel, you must seek to be with him. And that he might send them forth to preach. That's the assignment. As we settled last Sunday night, this morning, from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and verse 1. We'll wrap up with that. The writer says, the words of the preacher. Now this preacher is supposedly the king, Solomon. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. What we put to rest was this. First and foremost, you are a preacher. Your pedigree, as it was with Solomon here, his pedigree was that he was a son of David. But his platform, from where he ministered, was this, that he was king in Jerusalem. And I said to us, first of all, we are preachers. We may be sons and daughters of so-and-so, and we may be housewives, we may be engineers, doctors, lawyers, some kind of a profession, businessman, businesswoman, whatever. That is our platform. Now, God is not saying to you, leave your platform and become a pastor. Because being a pastor is also a platform. This is my platform. And your platform may be something else. And God is saying, from your platform, do the one thing that you need to do. Be a preacher. And verse 12, this is interesting. Verse 12 says this. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Now, this particular statement there is this. I want you to listen up. The preacher, Solomon, is saying that your preaching, my preaching, has to outlast my living. What do you mean by that? When you are no longer, let's imagine that you were an engineer, or you were a doctor, or you were a businessman. At some point you retire. It says, even after you retire, you're still a preacher. But this is further more than that. Even after you die, which means that you was, you're still a preacher. That means after you even die, you are still preaching. You are still fortifying the preaching of the Word of God. Now, that's interesting. How many people have died that did not leave support for the preaching of the gospel after they die? So that the message of the gospel continues to go on after they die. There is no, they don't have anything in their will that has anything to do with the body of Christ and ministries to continue preaching. God says, I want you to, after you even die, keep on preaching. Live your life to keep on preaching. That's your purpose here. And after you leave here, this platform, keep on preaching. Yeah. Don't stop preaching. My spiritual father, Maurice Cerullo, is an embodiment of that truth. He's still preaching right now. He's been gone 1 year already, but he's still preaching. And more lives have been saved now. More lives have been transformed now from his preaching. People are seeking out his preaching. They're tired of the wishy-washy messages that people who did not know and didn't sell out to God are preaching. They want to hear the real deal. We want the real deal. Give me the real deal. Somebody who didn't mess around and told me funny stories. I want the real deal. I want the real deal. He invested to make sure that the legacy of preaching kept on going. And it is. Praise the Lord. And we need to do everything to keep this message going. Every word that is spoken from this platform needs to be kept and spread out so that if the Lord elects to call me home at any point, that people have a reference point. Somebody preached a message like this. And you and I need to invest to make sure that the gospel keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going. Even after we leave this plane, we keep on preaching. It is our mandate. It is our calling. I pray and I trust that you heard the word of the Lord loud and clear, because this is your first and primary purpose as a believer, to preach the gospel, to confess Jesus before men every day of your life. Let it be known. God is not calling you to be a secret agent. Some of us have been so secret, we don't even remember anymore what we are. Be bold, be strong, but be wise. Be smart in communicating the word of God, the love of God with people, recognizing that God loves people. He doesn't want them to die, and this is why you and I need to preach the gospel. Eternity is too long to spend in the wrong place. Capish? It's not like, well, how long have we had COVID? A year and a half, 2 years? And everybody's fed up of it? Can you imagine being in hell? You're complaining about mask now. Oh, they want me to put a mask on. Well, guess what? There's no mask that's going to fix the problem in hell, in the lake of fire, smoking with brimstone. For eternity, forever and ever, there's no end to it. How? God says, if you hate people that much, to not love them enough to tell them the gospel, well, I'm going to ask their blood from your hand. In other words, you and them are going in the same direction. That's how serious this is. You may not want to hear it. And there's going to be enough so-called theologians with their soteriology and stuff, and says, the doctrine of salvation. Oh, you cannot lose your salvation, oh, Pastor. You know, this, what you're preaching now is the gospel of works. You're telling the people if they don't preach the gospel, they can end up in hell. Oh, no, no. Jesus saves. And Jesus said, if you endure to the end by preaching the gospel, we read it, you shall be saved. Did I make that one up? He says, if you endure, you'll be saved. Guess what I want to do? Endure. Not being afraid of what man is going to do. They're going to kill bodies. He says, you better be afraid of the one who will destroy soul and body. As the Father sent me, so send I you. It's heavy, I know, but God is more than enough. It is by His grace that we will fulfill this mandate and just keep on preaching. No matter what, nobody's going to shut your mouth. Nobody's going to shut my mouth, because from the rooftop, we're going to declare, Jesus is Lord. Amen? Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior of the world. And while they are trying to persecute you, He says, keep on healing the sick. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. Amen? You ready to preach the gospel? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege accorded us to be preachers of the gospel. The privilege to invest in the preaching of the gospel. That in life or in death, matters not, that we have set ourselves apart to confess you before men. For how are people going to get saved? Except there be a preacher that has been sent, commissioned to go forth. Lord, we come into the army of the Lord. And we're confident, O God, that you are our keeper, that you will see us through the battles of this life, that we'll be able to resist the enemy and walk uprightly in righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love. Help us to be effective soul winners to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Yeshua's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless you. Thank God for every one of you that have taken time to participate this evening in the message that the Word of the Lord has released unto us. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. And do know that in your giving, you are preaching. You're making it possible for the gospel to continue to be preached. May God honor your faith. May God honor your commitment as you endeavor to see His purposes fulfilled and lives forever transformed. Amen? Come, honor God with your giving. Praise the Lord. The information necessary for you to honor God with your giving is available on the screen at this time. You can do that if you're in Canada through e-transfers. If you're outside Canada, you can always use the website and make your donations through that medium. just go to the website and push on the donate button, and you'll be able to honor God that way. You can send your offering or tithes or whatever it is that you're sending by mail, and the address is available to you right there, 1296 Main Street. I don't know if that's the box number that you have there, but 1296 Main Street, Winnipeg, R2W3T5, R2W3T5, 1296 Main Street. Praise the Lord. Rise with me as we wrap up. Lord, your word says, many are called, but few are chosen. May we be the chosen of the Lord, chosen to be fruitful, to multiply, to testify of your goodness. Father, thank you that you are dealing with the wolves. You are dealing with the wolves. The strong man is bound so you can spoil his house. Yes, we may be faced with many challenges, but you are our champion, the God who makes a way where there is no way. Thank you, Lord, O God, that there are no limits and no limitations to our reach, to our effectiveness. You are the builder of your church, the church that the gates of hell will never prevail over. So, Lord, O God, let your hand rest upon every son and every daughter right now. May they be infused with grace. For, Lord, O God, we thank you for the privilege of service, and we thank you for the rewards that are coming to all of your people as we encourage each other. Your word says, O God, that people that support the prophet will also receive the prophet's reward. Those that are supportive of the righteous will receive the rewards of a righteous man. Those, O God, that are supportive of your disciples, just like children, O Father, they will experience the experiences of the kingdom of God. We give you praise for all of the rewards that you have for us. We step into our end time destiny to declare your kingdom come, your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. You are our present help in every situation. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Before you go, we're reminded that Wednesday is our Bible study, but on Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the special meetings, spiritual warfare 2. First day is going to be preaching of the word. Second day is going to be symposium, preaching and answering of questions. And we received some questions. And if you've not sent in your question yet, and you believe you want it answered, please send it, because we are going to be dealing with it ASAP. And Saturday will be the close of that special meeting. But what that all means is that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we're going to have services. That's 6 services back to back. Amen? So we look forward to experiencing God together and enjoying his plans and his purposes concerning us. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Good night. This time I will chat with those.